Chalet, Srimati, Bhakti, Vedanta, Swami, Nityanamini. Namaste, Sarasvati, Deve, Gauravani, Pacharane, Nirvasesa, Sanyavadi, Paskatyade, Satarane. Vandeham, Sri Guru, Sri Yuta, Padakamalam, Sri Guru, Vaishnavam, Sri Rupam, Sagrajatam, Sagana, Raghunatham, Vitam, Sam, Sajivam. Sadvaitam, Sadvadutam, Parijana, Sahita, Krishna, Chaitanya, Devam, Sri Radha, Krishna, Padam, Sahagana, Lalita, Sri Vishakam, Vitamscha, Vanchakalpa, Trubhascha, Kripasini, Vyevata, Patitanam, Pavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo, Namo, Namaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
December 28, 2015, Skype class from Hilo Hawaii, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 8, Manifestation of Brahma, from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Text 26. Pumsam swakamaya viviktamargayar avyachatam kama dugangri padmam padarshayantam kripayana kendu Mayukabinanguli charupatram. Pumsam, of the human being, swakamaya, according to the desire, the viktamargai, by the path of devotional service, abhyachatam, worshipped, kama duga angri padmam, the lotus feet of the Lord which can award all desired fruits. Pradarshayantam, while showing them, kripaya, by causeless mercy, naka, nails, indu, moon-like, mayuka, rays, bina, divided, anguli, figures.
Six figures.
We should just mention anguli can mean fingers or toes. This is probably a mistake. It probably isn't figures, it's probably fingers, and it should be fingers or toes. It's a problem here. Very beautiful. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord showed his lotus feet by raising them. His lotus feet are the source of all awards achieved by devotional service free from material contamination. Such awards are for those who worship him in pure devotion. The splendor of the transcendental rays from his moon-like toenails and fingernails appeared like the petals of a flower. Purport. The Lord fulfills the desires of everyone just as one desires. Pure devotees are interested in achieving the transcendental service of the Lord, which is non-different from him. Therefore, the Lord is the only desire of the pure devotees, and devotional service is the only spotless process for achieving his favor. Srila Rupa Goswami says in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11 that pure devotional service is Jnana Karmada Navratam, CC Majji 19.167. Pure devotional service is without any tinge of speculative knowledge and fruitive activities. Such devotional service is able to award the pure devotee the highest result, namely direct association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. According to the Gopala Tapani Upanishad, the Lord showed one of the many thousands of petals of his lotus feet. It is said, Brahmano sav anavartanam me dayatas tuto para dhante so budyata gopavesho me purasat avir babuva. After penetrating for millions of years, Lord Brahma could understand the transcendental form of the Lord as Sri Krishna in the dress of a cowherd boy. And thus he recorded his experience in the Brahma Samhita in the famous verse Govindam. Adiputrasham tam maham bhajami. Pumsam swakamaya viviktamargayar abhyachatam kama dugandri padmam padarshayantam kripayana kendu mayukta binanguli charupatram. The Lord showed his lotus feet by raising them. His lotus feet are the source of all awards achieved by devotional service free from material contamination. Such awards are for those who worship him in pure devotion. The splendor of the transcendental rays from his moon-like toenails and fingernails appeared like the petals of a lotus. So, swakamaya, he gives us whatever we want. right? Kama Dugdha. He awards us the fruit of our desires, and this means that whatever we have right now is what we have wanted. And we might say, well, I didn't want to break my leg, I didn't want to be poor, I didn't want my wife to run off with another man, you know, I didn't want that. But the reality is that the things we wanted or want may necessitate those sort of things. Okay, you want this? All right, well, to get that, you'll have to be put in this circumstance. To get this, you'll have to be put in this circumstance. Or we could say specifically that in order to exhibit our desires, we performed actions which have those specific reactions. In other words, we don't know what to want. We don't know what to want. So we are really in a world that is all based on desire. A lot of the New Age people kind of get this, that the plan of the of reality of the cosmos is desire fulfilling. You have that painting in the old Bhagavad Gita's of the upside down banyan tree in the 15th chapter, and written on the water in which the banyan tree is reflected is the word desire. So that's true even materially. Then we should look at what are the paths to get our desire. Prabhupada's talking here about pure bhakti, about karma, misra bhakti, gyan, misra bhakti, karma, gyan. And the ultimate attainment is here realized by Brahma. What is the ultimate thing to desire and the ultimate path to achieve it? So what we have is what we wanted. And, you know, the problem is when we get it, we don't want it anymore. And then we say, no, no, I want something else. And such goes on over and over again. You know, you buy something at the store. I just did that. And I have a program that we give the kids some special treats for their jobs and their schoolwork. So I bought a container to put the sweets in. So I had to have something that would be ant-proof and that we could lock. So, you know, I went to, looked around, looked online, and finally got something from a local store, and then very kindly Harsh Prabhu found something better for me. You know, I got it and I said, it's not what I want. It's not what I want. Oh, let me get something else. And hopefully what I get will be what I want. But generally in this world we get something, oh, it's not what I want. It's not what I want. Oh, I got a man's body, I wish I had a woman's body. Got a woman's body, wish I had a man's body. Got a white body, wish I had a black body. Had a black body, wish I had a white body. Have a human body, wish I had a dog's body. Have a dog body, wish I had a human body. You know, I have a body that's very strong but not so smart. I wish I was smart and not so strong. Then you'd be smart and not so strong, and then you wish you were strong and not so smart. You had outgoing personality, wish you were shy. You're shy, you wish you were outgoing. You know, and it keeps going like this in this cycle over and over and over again. I want this, we get it. No, I really want that. Ah, it's not like the way I want it. It's not, you know, we're like a terrible customer, right? We're like the worst possible customer. And we go to the place we're getting our services from. You know, I want my website designed like this. No, I actually want it like this. Oh, no, could I have it like that? Well, that's what you said you wanted. Yeah, but now I decided I didn't like it anymore. Let me have it. And the designer says, well, this is what you said you wanted. Yeah, but I didn't know what it would look like. Now that I see what it would look like, I don't want it anymore. Right? I didn't know what this person would be like to live with. Now that I'm living with them, I don't want to live with them anymore. I want to live with somebody else. Let me try this and that and this and that and this and that. But it's all from our desires. It's all from our desires. And we don't want to see that. We want to see that we're victims of our terrible circumstances, that the world has conspired against us and God is inspired against us, but it's not true. Yetam amprapajan te tam sadaiva bhajamyaham. Nitya nitya nam te jana satanam eko bahunam yo vidyatikam. So, what are the paths to getting our desires fulfilled? How can we get our desires fulfilled? Whatever our desires are, there's only a few paths. There's the path of karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti. And these are paths whether you want. Whether you're sarvakama, mokshakama, or akama, whether you have all desires, right? Swakamaya in today's verse, whether you have all desires, or whether you have desires for liberation, or whether you don't, are free from desires. So far we've talked about Kamaya, now we're going to talk about Margaya. What are the paths? What's the marg that one travels? So in the modern day and age, the only path really taught is karma and to some extent gyan. So in the modern day, people say to get your desires fulfilled, you have to engage in karma. You have to engage in fruitive activity. You act in such and such way, and you will get such and such result. And if it doesn't happen fast enough, then you can cheat. So modern society is full of cheaters. The athletes cheat. They can't hit the ball fast enough. They take steroids. Right? The businessmen cheat. They can't get their money fast enough. They publicize bad stocks. They give false information. They can't make the chickens grow fast enough. They pump them full of drugs. They can't make the corn grow fast enough. They genetically modify them. They pour chemicals into the soil. Cheating, 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 cheating. They can't have enough sex, so they take some drugs so they can have more sex. They take some drugs so they can have sex without children. Cheating, cheating, cheating. That's vikarma. So the modern philosophy is better to do karma, better to do pious activities. If that doesn't work, then you can always try vikarma. And you are ahankara vimudha makartaham iti majjite. You are the architect of your fortune by your cleverness and your hard work, and maybe by your cleverness and cheating, you will get what you want. Here's a success story. This person worked so hard against unbelievable odds, and they achieved the pinnacle of success, money and power and sex and beauty and fame and so forth. So that's the path of karma, which leads ultimately, of course, to the higher planet. If you're really a good person, it's not just that Santa Claus will give you a good gift, but if you're really a good person, you'll get to go to heaven. And you'll become one of the angels. You'll become one of the demigods. You'll earn your wings by your good work. And so this is the path of fruitive work, of action. Then there's gyan, and to some extent in modern society, the gyan is propounded. You know, if you want to be the leader of society, become a scientist. Give up interest in petty karmic activities. You know, be the scientist like Einstein that forgets to cut his hair and doesn't notice if he's brought socks to speak at Harvard, and, you know, be absorbed in the head. Don't care so much about money and things like that. The path of gyan, philosophy, and you'll understand the world through philosophy. Many years ago, I had to get a benign tumor removed that was pressing on the nerves of my arm, and I ended up having the surgery done by a neurosurgeon. And I was talking to her and saying, you know, what got you into neurosurgery? She said, well, mostly I do work on the brain. She said, and I thought that if I could touch the brain, I could touch the self. I would find the mysteries of the world. So this is a little higher than karma. I'm not trying for fruitive action, the big house, the big car, the big flat screen TV, etc. But I'm trying through knowledge. I'm going to guess. I'm going to, maybe it's like this, maybe it's like that. I'm going to look in my telescopes. I'm going to take apart the atom. I'm going to look at the cells, whatever branch of science one is interested in, philosophy, poetry, and so forth. Right? And that can bring one to the mode of goodness. And Prabhupada said, again, one can take birth over and over again as a scientist or philosopher. It can bring one to the planets of the gyanis, the planets of the philosophers, or the higher planets. Or, of course, if one engages in philosophy to make everyone think that there's no God, then it may take you a little lower than that. And then yoga. And yoga is also popular, not as much, although it's becoming, the concepts of yoga are becoming popular in the West in the guise of Buddhism today. The idea of mindfulness, engaging some time every day in meditation. And of course, they're meditating on the void. They're not meditating on the supersoul. But this idea that by mechanically controlling the body and mind, by manipulating the breathing, as like Lord Kapiladev explains, if you breathe in, hold your breath, and then breathe out. Or if you breathe out, hold your breath, and then breathe in. You will calm the mind. So they breathe in these different ways to control the mind, and they sit still, and they focus the mind on one point. And many of the people who do this, they do gain powers. They gain powers of discernment in the world, where then they can have power over others, or sometimes they gain actual mystic powers, or they may gain just inner peace and tranquility, a view of the world where they're no longer bothered by the ups and downs of the world. And with yoga, you're not just speculating on knowledge, but you're trying to realize that knowledge. Of course, many people engaging in these activities, they don't have a proper guru. And I was reading an article about the harms of meditation and mindfulness, that some of the people, first of all, when they engage in these practices, they see the dirt in their heart, no surprise, but they don't know how to deal with it, and they may become very depressed. Also, they see the futility of everything, but they don't have a positive alternative, and then they become very depressed. And some of them awaken the kundalini, and they awaken shaktis and powers that they don't know how to use. As one friend of mine who's very familiar with such things, an expert in such things, said to me, it's like giving a chainsaw to a three-year-old. So some of them are opening Pandora's box. They're playing with things they don't understand. If one gets into actual yoga, which is very hard in the Kali Yuga, to do the real yoga, meditate on the Lord in the heart, go away from the rest of society, engage in celibacy, eating very simply, not really any association with anyone else. If one is very successful in yoga, one can enter into the Brahmajyoti. But Avasuddha Buddhya, the internal intelligence, is still not purified, and one can even go to the planet of the Paramatma. It's possible also that one could even go to Vaikuntha, to the planets of Narayana, if such is one's meditation. And then, of course, there's bhakti. Bhakti is the path of getting to the root of everything. Bhakti is changing, taking our false ego off the throne of the heart and putting the Lord there. That is the essence of bhakti. Having our focus be on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the past, other paths, they can have such as the focus. It can be karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, or it can be karma misra bhakti, jnana misra bhakti, yoga misra bhakti. In karma yoga, one is still trying to enjoy the fruits, but one's trying to enjoy the fruits by offering them to God, thinking, well, that's a better way to enjoy the fruits. I'll give Krishna my pizza first, and then I can enjoy the fruits of my hard labor. You still want to enjoy the world in karma yoga. You want to become one of the great demigods. And in jnana yoga, you want, by the grace of the Lord, to get knowledge. And in dhyan yoga, one wants, by the grace of the Lord, to get powers. If we have mixed bhakti, if we have some situation of karma misra bhakti, or jnana misra bhakti, or yoga misra bhakti, then the situation is a little different than just karma yoga. So in karma misra bhakti, one is trying to attain full success, the fulfillment of all desires, through bhakti, through devotion. But one is not thinking that devotion is enough. You don't think devotion is enough. I have to add some karma yoga to the devotion. It's a lack of faith in just bhakti as it is. Right? And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Ramananda Roy said that karma misra bhakti, jnana misra bhakti, that these were also external. They weren't the real thing. You know, okay, I'm going to achieve perfection by love and devotion, but I have to be a pious person too. And we run into this mentality a lot in the modern Hare Krishna movement, that it's not enough to do bhakti, you also have to follow Varnashram. Now, of course, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to institute Varnashram, but bhakti is never dependent on Varnashram. It's something like, you know, if you're going to have a bhakti movement, it's nice to have physical buildings where you can invite people. However, bhakti is not dependent on physical buildings in any way, shape, or form. Even a bhakti movement is not dependent on physical buildings. And just like our movement spread all over Russia for so many years without any official temple, the same is true in China, the same is true in the Middle East, countries where having an official temple is prohibited. Still, there's thousands, tens of thousands of devotees in the Hare Krishna movement. So bhakti, having a bhakti movement is not dependent on having a temple at all. Yet having a temple, it may be helpful for bhakti. So following varnashram is helpful for bhakti, but not at all essential. So those who think it's essential, we know people who've made their mission, our mission is that we want to institute varnashram, and they emphasize it over bhakti. They emphasize being pious over bhakti. I mean, even we read something shocking, really shocking, from one of the leaders in ISKCON recently, where he was saying, until you're liberated, you must perform varnashram. You have to. And that's karma nishra bhakti. Pure bhakti is liberated, non-liberated. You can just do bhakti. When Haridas Thakur converted the prostitute, he did not say to her, she was outside the varnashram system. She didn't have a proper varna, and she wasn't in a proper ashram. And he didn't say to her, first you've got to follow varnashram. She was pretty contaminated. She wasn't liberated. He didn't say that. He said, just do bhakti. When Narada Muni saw Nagrari the hunter, similar situation. Of course, the hunter had a sort of kind of an ashram. He was married. I don't think he was a grihastha. But Narada Muni didn't say to him, you know, you've got to have a proper varna. And he didn't give him a varna at all. He said, just sit down by the river here, plant a tulsi, and chant. He didn't give him any varna. So saying that one has to have that together first, is that's karma nishra bhakti. Then gyan nishra bhakti is when one feels that, again, bhakti isn't enough. I have to have a philosophical speculation. I have to know the philosophy. A wonderful devotee, Adi Purusha Prabhu, in Slovenia, was talking about how for many years he thought that before he could achieve pure devotion, he had to have all the good qualities of the devotees and acquire them separately. And after many years, he realized that that was jnana nishra bhakti. In other words, first I have to be liberated by detachment, by philosophy. And we see this also many times. People saying, first you have to become completely detached, then you can meditate on Krishna. What's your process of becoming detached? And that's meditation on the philosophy that the world is temporary and so forth. But that's jnana nishra bhakti. Now, if you're in bhakti, of course, you're going to get detachment. You're going to get vairagya and vidya as byproducts. When I fall in love with Krishna, I naturally become detached from everything else. If I give you a galotaman, you know, why will you want some old chemical-laden biscuit or cookie from the grocery store? And then there's a yoga nishra bhakti. Yoga nishra bhakti is saying, you know, it's not enough just to chant Hare Krishna. It's not enough to be in the kirtan. I also have to do all the yoga asanas and the pranayama. Yeah, and they can be helpful. Undoubtedly, they can be helpful. But if we think they're necessary, if we think I can't meditate on Krishna unless I do the principles of jnana yoga, then that's yoga nishra bhakti. And these paths lead to different results, and Krishna's not very pleased with them. He's not very excited by them because they all have a lot of me in them. So if we really want the fulfillment of our desires, we want to go on the highest, fastest path. And the highest, fastest path is trying to please He who can give us all desires, just to please Him. And we will start out trying to please Him in order to get something. That's inevitable. But as we try to please Him and please Him and please Him, we discover that pleasing Him is enough. And Prabhupada says that really wonderfully here, where he says that the service of the Lord is not different from Him. That one starts to realize that pleasing the Lord is the Lord, that I have the association of the Lord, I have everything I could possibly want and more than I could possibly want. I was searching for broken pieces of glass and I received a great jewel. So that is the path of bhakti. And the reason bhakti has that effect is that it gets directly to the root of everything. Now, right now I'm studying Manashiksha, and Raghunath Das Goswami goes from the leaves down to the root of our material attachment. And he starts out with things like karma, dharma and adharma. And he starts out with talking about a bhukti and mukti, or aspiring even for Narayana. And he goes from talking about them to doing vikarmic activities, doing wicked deeds, and then he goes from that to doing sinful activities in the name of bhakti, you know, where one is preaching just to get money, or one is preaching just to attract the opposite sex, or things like that, where one is studying materialistic things in the name of preaching, just because one's really interested in studying materialistic things, and so forth. And he gets down from there to the root of the root of the root. I am great. I am great. I am wonderful. I am the center. Everything is about me. And bhakti hits that root, that everything is about Krishna. Everything is about Krishna's great devotees. Everything is about Srila Prabhupada. Everything is about Radharani and Lalita and Vishakha and Ramananda Roy and Sukadeva Goswami. It's not about me. I'm just the servant. It gets to the root. And these other processes, they'll get there. Klesha dikatarashte shamavikta shaktateja samavikta hibatir dukandinavadir bhaktite. They'll get there, but it will be hard. So through karma yoga, jnana yoga, jnana yoga, or karma nishra bhakti, jnana nishra bhakti, yoga nishra bhakti, you'll get there. But by a circuitous route, many planets, many lifetimes, bhagunam janmanam mante janamam papadite vasudevam sarvamiti samahatma sadurla baha, and just by karma, you're not going to go anywhere. So just by varnashram, which means good karma, and you're just going to rotate. One's not going to achieve God just in that way. One at least has to have karma yoga. So what is this ultimate achievement that we're looking for? What is the ultimate achievement? The ultimate achievement is here, one of the lotus feet of the Lord, whose toes are being illuminated by the moon-like rays of his toenails. That is the ultimate achievement. That doesn't sound like an ultimate achievement to a modern person in Kali Yuga. You know, if you go to somebody, well, what do you want? You know, I want a big house in Beverly Hills and a BMW and Jaguar and a gorgeous spouse and a few million dollars in the bank. Oh, really? Oh, well, what do you want? Oh, well, I just want, you know, one of the lotus feet of God where his toes are illuminated by his toenails, and the person would probably look at you like you're ready for a psychological evaluation. Now, one thing the Prabhupada notes here is that it says one of the lotus feet. And such indicates, the acharyas indicate, and Srila Prabhupada mentions here, that this means that Lord Brahma is seeing Krishna. Now, that may be a little astonishing, because we thought he was seeing Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshai Vishnu, and that Krishna is not going to appear for a long time in the universe. So how is it that he's seeing Krishna? And why would this one foot indicate that he's seeing Krishna? Well, we all know how Krishna likes to stand. Shanam Tribhanga Lalitam Yata Prakasham. He likes to stand in this Tribhanga pose. Of course, he doesn't always stand like that, but he dances and walks around and swims and all kinds of things. But he likes to stand. It's his form of, it's his posture of repose. We don't see the other incarnations of the Lord in this posture. We don't see Lord Ramachandra, Narayana, what to speak of the other incarnations, Nisinga, Varaha, Narayan Rishi. We never see any of the other incarnations in this form of repose. This is the Dira Lalita aspect of the Lord. And in this form of repose, as we've all seen so many times with the deity of Krishna, one of his lotus feet, generally the right foot, one of his lotus feet is fully visible. He's up on his toes, the anguli, which means fingers or toes. He's up on the anguli, and the whole sole of his right foot is visible. So this one foot, as Prabhupada says here, one of the many thousands of petals of his lotus feet, that means one foot. And there Prabhupada is quoting Gopa Vesho. He's in his Gopa dress, and he's praying to Govinda, because that's the form that he sees. He sees the ultimate form. It's Krishna who has these lotus feet. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur notes how astonishing it is in this verse that the metaphor here of the lotus feet, right? We have is it, while showing them the nails moon-like. So we don't have... yes, Padmam. Padmam is lotus. So we have the feet are lotuses. This is the most common metaphor for the Lord's form is that of a lotus. But they're blooming in the Indu, in the moonlight. So generally lotuses bloom in the sun. If anyone has seen lotuses, they close at night and they open during the day. Right, some flowers, like here we have some night blooming jasmine. When I stay at the Houston Temple, so many light blooming jasmine. You know, when I first smelled it, I was like, wow, that's amazing. Instead, somebody's blooming. So some flowers bloom only at night. I think there are some cactuses that have flowers that bloom not only at night, but only once a year. And just incredible. People will plant an acre of cacti and just to see the flowers bloom. So some flowers bloom in the moonlight, but the lotus is not one of them. The lotus blooms in the day. And here the lotus is blooming in the moonlight. And the what's also interesting about this metaphor is the moonlight is coming from the toenails, which are part, of course, of the toes. So our nails are part of our toes. So it's interesting that the nails on the toes are causing the toes to bloom. So what does this exactly mean? It means that these glowing effulgence, of course, all of Krishna's effulgence, all of Krishna's form is glittering and effulgent and bright, although he's very dark. He's a dazzling dark, and his form is very bright. His clothes are all glittering, his ornaments, everything is glittering and effulgent. But particularly his toenails are often described as being effulgent. It's described that when he places his lotus feet on a many-colored jewel footstool, that the light from his toenails washes out all the other colors and makes the footstool appear white. And what does it mean causing his toes and his feet to blossom? It is a metaphor. It's not that his foot is literally a flower. And so blossom to reveal itself. To open, and this spirituality is often compared to this opening and blossoming and awakening of a flower. Oh, you're in the crouched up in the fetal position, and you're born, and your body opens and expands. Oh, there's light, and there's sound, and there's touch, and the little bud all closed up, and it comes and opens, and it reveals its beauty and its fragrance. And so this is the metaphor here. And one who sees the lotus feet of the Lord, and one who not only sees the lotus feet of the Lord, but serves the lotus feet of the Lord, which is what Lord Brahma is doing, especially in his form of Krishna, will find that whatever they wanted through karma, through gyan, through yoga, through karma mishra bhakti, gyan mishra bhakti, yoga mishra bhakti, whatever they wanted, Brahmanya pramite konya bhagavan ji guru krishna prasade paya bhakti vata beach, whatever they wanted through traveling through all the different species and circumstances and planets and trying this and that and the other thing and the other thing. As Krishna says, you don't need wells if there's rivers flowing nearby. They're useless. Well, here's I can do everything I want in the river. It's kind of like, you know, the modern superstore that's put all the little mom-and-pop businesses out of business. Because one store has everything, or the internet giant Amazon, you know. Practically anything you want, you can get from that place. Why go to little places? It's all there. I mean, of course, not literally. But that's the concept. You go to one place and get everything. This is what Bali Maharaj told Devamandev. Ask me for something so great, you'll never have to ask for anything else. This is the unified field theory that the Gyanis are looking for. You know, the one equation that answers all questions. The yogis are looking for the mantra. What is the one mantra? The one asana. The karmis, they're looking for the formula of action. It's the one kind of mental disposition I can have, the one kind of action. You know, usually it ends up being a short list. And so there's all these books, you know, the three most important things, the seven habits, the whatever. So the karmis are looking for it there. What's the short list of how I can act and think the jnanis are, you know, what's the short list of what I can know? The formula, the yogis, what's the short list of my mantra? And for the devotees, they say, oh, it's service to the lotus feet, one of the lotus feet of the Lord. Of course, when we also say the lotus feet of the lotus feet are not only a metaphor for the soft, fragrant, opening lotus, but they're also a metaphor for tadya. And we say padasevanam is one of the nine processes of bhakti, that padasevanam is really a code for anything that is at the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is worshipping Tulsi, going to the holy dhams, serving the Vaishnavas, anything in relationship to the Lord. So it's not just that the Lord is the source of everything that we could want, but really, it's to become das, 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 and das. The servant of the servant of the servant. What's at the feet? What's at the bottom? I mean, it's true that we say we want to go up to see the Lord's smiling face. It's true that Srila Prabhupada writes later on in the third canto that meditation on the Lord's smile and laughter is the only thing that can free us from all material contamination. But we have to start at the feet. Why? Because the essence of bhakti is to get ourselves off the throne, to get rid of our pride, to get rid of our desire to be honored. To honor. And we particularly need to find people who are really honorable, right? When we want to be honored, whenever we find somebody who's honorable, we burn. Yeah, we get a burning sensation in our heart. Right? Oh, why are they great? And not me. But real bhakti is found when one serves those who are great, when one's willing to be small, which is what one is. And why should we find everything we want? Well, it's the source, isn't it? Janmayasyayataha. Whatever there is, it must be in the source. It must be in Krishna. He must really be the source. And many years ago, my husband wanted to start a software business. Instead, he started a computer hardware business. And it really got off the ground when some of the equipment he ordered came in a box with an invoice from the company from which his vendor had received their supplies. He got to the source of his source. So that's what Lord Brahma's doing, going down in the lotus. The source of the source of the source of the source. When we go to the source of everything, everything is there. In perfection. And we do that by starting with devotion to the feet, which then bloom in our own heart. Our own heart starts becoming fragrant. Yesterday, one of my granddaughters came in during my puja. So I was burning some sticks of rose incense. She was playing with the smoke. And we were talking about incense. And I said, you want to see some real incense? So she said, sure. So I got out the charcoal and the frankincense. And we were burning some real frankincense. It was 24 hours ago, and I got all the windows and the door open in this space, but the room still smells like frankincense. We want our whole heart to be fragranced by this lotus feet of the Lord, which then gives us the everything. Everything we could have wanted, what we wanted to achieve with the new pair of shoes or the house or the car or the mate or the whatever. That desire that drove us to get those things, comfort, relationship, peace, excitement, adventure, the underlying desires, those are all satisfied when we go to the source of those desires and to the feet, because we need to go with humility. We need to go with acknowledging that he's the source, that we're not the source, not using him, but with love. And then we will also say in ecstasy, Govinda Mani Purushantam Maham Bhajam. So questions, comments, corrections, additions, subtractions.